from supplied jurisdiction according to Canon 209, page 299, we learn more about the positive and probable doubt necessary before Canon 209 will supply jurisdiction, quote, to be efficacious in its supplementary character, a doubt has to be truly positive and probable, and not a mere figment of a priest's imagination, or the result of ignorance, pure and simple, unquote. Please answer question 151. Do you agree that with regard to Canon 209, the laity have mostly ignorance, pure and simple? Therefore, in many cases, this canon is not efficacious in supplying jurisdiction, the reason being that the doubt is not truly positive and probable when the people are only ignorant. Please answer question 152. Do you agree that Canon 209 is all about the common error of the people who know the bishop or priest needs ordinary or delegated jurisdiction, and they actually believe their minister has ordinary or delegated jurisdiction apart from the possibility of the church supplying it extraordinarily? Remember, the Traditus Movement ministers repeatedly tell their members they do not have jurisdiction. Please answer question 153. Do you agree that Canon 209 will not supply jurisdiction if there is neither common error nor truly positive and probable doubt of fact or of law? On page 14 of Supply Jurisdiction According to Canon 209, we read, quote, it is readily understood that no one can posit a jurisdictional act unless and until he has the necessary authorization or power to do so, unquote. Please answer question 154. Do you agree that the above sentence is a true teaching of the Catholic Church? Please answer question 155. Do you agree that the Traditus Movement clerics lack this necessary authorization or power to posit, assume, and put forward jurisdictional acts, since they do not have ordinary and delegated jurisdiction? Always remember, quote, Epikaya can excuse the individual from the precept, but it can never confer the capacity to act. Epikaya cannot bestow upon him the power which he does not now possess, nor can Epikaya restore the power which the law has withdrawn. Unquote. That is, those who adhere to the Novus Ordo and automatically lost their office, authority, and jurisdiction according to Canon 188, Part 4. You can see Father Riley's book mentioned a little later in this letter. Let us learn from supplied jurisdiction according to Canon 209 on page 21. Quote, dealing with men with all their four bliss and weaknesses, with their need of strict sanctions to help them along the path of probity and justice, the Church has found it necessary to be very careful in allowing others to share in her power. To protect the faithful against deception and to assure them of competent and worthy ministers, the Church has ever insisted and still does insist that those who are to minister unto the faithful in the name of Christ and of the Church must first receive the approval and authorization necessary for the valid and licit performance of jurisdictional acts, unquote, from supplied jurisdiction according to Canon 209. Please answer question 156. Do you agree that the Catholic Church still does insist that her clerics must first receive the approval and authorization necessary for the valid and licit performance of jurisdictional acts? Please answer question 157. Do you agree that the Traditionalist Movement clerics did not receive this approval and authorization necessary for the valid and licit performance of jurisdictional acts because there was no one to give it to them? If the Traditionalist Movement clerics have never received this approval and authorization necessary for the valid and licit performance of jurisdictional acts, neither Canon 209 nor Canon 2261 will give them jurisdiction. We will now study from page 22 of Supplied Jurisdiction according to Canon 209. Quote, "The matter of jurisdiction, then, is very important. First, the necessity for it supplies the Church with strict sanctions against usurpers and incompetents. The possession of it is important also for the priest, who, in acting without it, would not only posit invalid acts, but would run afoul of the rigid sanctions of the Church and of God. Finally, it is especially clear how important the use of it is to the faithful, and what a great loss it would be for them to approach a priest, a judge, to have faculties to absolve, confess, and then upon their confession depart, not knowing that they were still unabsolved, upon the presence or absence of jurisdiction, the very validity or the invalidity of the acts will depend." Unquote. Please answer question 158. Do you agree with Father that a priest without jurisdiction will only posit invalid acts? Please answer question 159. Do you believe the faithful have approached priest, judge, to have faculties to absolve, confess, and then left the confessional, not knowing that they were still unabsolved? The book, Priest's Problems, by Reverend Father Edward Joseph Mahoney, imprimatur and copyright, 1958, pages 397 and 398, provides this information concerning Canons 2261 and Canon 1258. Quote, paragraph 295, reception of sacraments from a non-Catholic minister. Can there be a good cause, apart from danger of death, justifying reception of the sacraments from the minister of a non-Catholic sect who is known to be validly ordained and capable of ministering certain sacraments validly? 1. Relying on Canon 2261 alone, one might unthinkingly give an affirmative reply to the question submitted. For the non-Catholic minister is not normally in the condition of an excommunicated person in Section 3 of the Canon, and it would therefore seem that any grave cause justifies receiving sacraments from his ministration. When, however, it is remembered that an excommunicated person as such does not normally cease to be a Catholic, it is evident that the content of Canon 2261 relates chiefly to Catholics who may be excommunicated for a variety of reasons. The question of receiving sacraments from non-Catholics, whether excommunicated or not, is ruled by Canon 1258. 2. Communicatio in sacris, an extremely difficult matter on the fringes of the law, offers no problem whatever when the non-Catholic rites or ceremonies or prayers are in themselves heretical in character or expression. To share in them is forbidden by natural or divine law at all times, including the hour of death, and no reason whatever can justify the action. Unquote from Priest's Problems. Canon 1258, Part 1 reads, "It is unlawful for the faithful in any way actively to be present at or take part in the religious services of non-Catholics," unquote of Canon 1258. The Trodestis movement clerics have never received the approval and authorization necessary for the valid and licit performance of jurisdictional acts, and therefore Canon 2261 does not apply to them. The Trodestis movement clerics do not possess the necessary marks of the Catholic Church, such as unity and apostolicity. Remember, without jurisdiction there is no real apostolicity. Without all four marks of the Catholic Church, they are non-Catholic sects. Canon 2261 does not apply to them because, we have just learned, quote, the question of receiving sacraments from non-Catholics, whether excommunicated or not, is ruled by Canon 1258, unquote. Having reviewed some of the things that the Church teaches about jurisdiction, it is necessary to understand the truth about Epikaia. It is beneficial to read the entire book, The History, Nature, and Use of Epikaia in Moral Theology, by Father Lawrence Joseph Riley, copyright 1948, The Catholic University of America Press, Incorporated, Imprimatur, Bishop Ricardus Jacobus Cushing, D.D., 7 May, 1948. Father Riley informed us on page 344, quote, in short, it may be concluded that in regard to matters which touch of the essence of the sacraments, the use of epikai is always excluded, unquote. Please answer question 160. Do you believe that the jurisdiction necessary to be absolved after confession touches the essence of the sacrament of penance, and that therefore the use of epikai is always excluded? Father Riley continues to teach us on page 347, quote, in regard to the essence of these sacraments, what has been explained above of all the sacraments is applicable to them, namely, that epikaia is never licit, unquote. Please answer question 161. Do you believe, Father Riley makes it clear, obvious, and evident, that the Trodestis movement clerics can never invoke epikaia to obtain jurisdiction in regard to matters which touch the essence of the sacraments? Please answer question 162. Do you agree that epikaia cannot help in any way whatsoever to make the sacraments valid and licit? Therefore, it is wrong to think epikaia saves the day so that the Trodestis movement bishops can ordain and consecrate others. Contrary to what Bishop Rosales teaches, Father Riley informs us on page 330, quote, it is to be noted that we do not here enter into the controversy as to whether the jurisdiction of the bishops is derived immediately from God or immediately from the Roman pontiff. Bellot, though himself subscribing to the latter opinion, asserts that in practice it is a matter of indifference which opinion is held, for even those theologians who maintain that episcopal jurisdiction is derived immediately from God still say that it is undoubtedly conferred with real and complete dependence on the sovereign pontiff, unquote. Father Riley gives us some extremely important information on page 387, quote, at most, epikaia can excuse the individual from the precept, but it can never confer the capacity to act. Epikaia cannot bestow upon him the power which he does not now possess. Nor can epikaia restore the power which the law has withdrawn. For such bestowal or restoration of power, a positive act is required. Unquote from this book on epikaia. Please answer question 163. Do you agree with Father Riley that epikaia can never confer the capacity to act? Please answer question 164. Do you agree that epikaia can never confer the capacity to a bishop to perform the act of consecrating another bishop without a papal mandate? Please answer question 165. Do you agree with Father Riley that Upakaya cannot bestow upon anyone the power which he does not now possess? Please answer question 166. In view of the fact that Upakaya cannot bestow upon anyone the power which he does not now possess, do you agree that Upakaya can never bestow upon anyone authority, jurisdiction, or mission in the Catholic Church? Now we read on pages 231 and 232, quote, Upakaya is not an act of jurisdiction, unquote. On page 6, Father Riley informed us about Upakaya in the internal forum, quote, D'Angelo endeavors to show that practically all modern canonists consider Upakaya to be a purely moral or ethical institute having validity only in the internal forum, unquote. Here is more about the internal and external forum found on pages 232 and 233. Quote, intimately connected with this problem is the question of whether or not Upakaya has any standing in the external forum. It would appear to be the rather general consensus of authorities today that it has not. Writing in Apollinarius, D'Angelo points out that St. Thomas considers Upakaya to be a merely moral element, and that modern writers believe it to be have reference only to moral and not to juridic matters. Van Hoof contends that since Upakaya is not an act of jurisdiction, it has value only in the internal forum. Hilling seems almost unwilling to give any standing to Upakaya at all, believing that it practically amounts to self-dispensation, which is in contradiction to law as a binding norm. He concludes, at the most, that it may be recognized in the internal forum, unquote, from Father Riley's book. Consecrating bishops, preaching sermons, founding religious congregations, and accepting religious vows in the name of the Church all pertain to the external forum. Father Riley has quoted St. Thomas and these inner authorities to teach us that Upakaya is not an act of jurisdiction, and the theologians have told us that Upakaya has value only in the internal forum. Please answer question 167. Do you agree with the general consensus of authorities today that Upakaya has absolutely no standing in the external forum? Please answer question 168. Do you agree, therefore, that the traditionalist movement clerics cannot use Upakaya to consecrate bishops, preach sermons, or accept religious vows in the name of the Church, all of which pertain to the external forum? Moving on to a different but related subject, let us now review two questions from the book Catechism on the Religious State with an imprimatur given in 1955. Quote, question 124, when are vows said to be public and when are they private? Answer, vows are said to be public when they are accepted by the lawful superior in the name of the Church. Vows are private or of devotion when they lack this official acceptance on the part of the Church. Each of the faithful, if it so pleases him, can oblige himself before God to do something more in his Christian life than is absolutely required. He can, out of his particular devotion and fervor of spirit, make vows. However, the vows are considered private if the authority of the Church is not called upon to confirm them. In order that vows be considered public, the Church and power superiors, and Patrick Henry inserts, that have authority and jurisdiction, unquote from Patrick Henry, to accept them in her name in the form of a quasi-contract. Question 125. Are the vows of religion made in a religious institute considered private or public? Answer, Religious vows, to be truly those of religious, must always be public. Indeed, they are religious vows precisely because they are public, that is, accepted by the Church. Please answer question 169. Do you agree that no superior in the traditionalist movement can receive valid public religious vows that are accepted by the Church, since they all lack jurisdiction and lawful authority? Please answer question 170. Are those who claim to be religious without having valid public religious vows violating the 7th and 8th commandments by deceiving people into supporting them? They deceitfully, dishonestly, and cunningly make others think they have religious vows by the way they dress and live. But they're only lay people and not religious. Quote, if you love me, keep my commandments. Unquote. In the world today, there are many who lie to themselves and others every day. They deceitfully, falsely, and deceptively attempt to make others think they are religious when they do not have religious vows. Many are deceiving others to make them think they have jurisdiction which they do not possess. The Holy Ghost said, quote, you shall not lie, neither shall any man deceive his neighbor, unquote, from Leviticus 19:11. Quote, be not willing to make any manner of lie, unquote, Ecclesiasticus 7:14. Quote, be not liars against the truth. Unquote, St. James 3:14.